previous year. In the second year, with Work for Arts as a partner, as you saw, they increased 80%. We increased our overall giving by more than 40% the second year that Work for Arts was present. One of the things that they did to help us generate energy was bring a team of folks that came over and did a radio show for about 10 minutes in front of all of our general managers. That in itself helped energize and was a demonstration of the power of the arts in the communities.
Was that LiveWire?
That was LiveWire, yes.
Very good.
And they did an outstanding job.
Hear it for LiveWire. I assume they did the version without curse words.
Oh, it was just very appropriate. Very appropriate. As you probably know, most of our employees are at minimum wage or somewhat above, but overall, our hourly employees are not on the highest end of the wage scale. For them to step forward the way they did tells me that there is a lot of value in the arts in our communities. It also points to the contribution that art is to the communities. One of the things that they also realize is that their funds, while they may not be big dollars that they're able to contribute, will be matched. And that matching is extremely important to our employees. They know then that they can actually make a difference in their communities. Last year, as I said, with a 40% increase, that was a record year in our company. It was the largest giving year in the history of our company. And we all know what the economy was like last year. For many years, our company has supported several different arts organizations. Tears of Joy we sponsored for many, many years. We've worked with On Your Feet Productions for our corporate training, and we anticipate working with them again in the very near future. One of the projects that we've had going on in our company for over 20 years, and I didn't realize it, but I think it's a right brain project with Fruit Valley School in Vancouver. That's very unknown, and it's not official because the people that organized that would have no idea. But for 20 years, we've been working with kindergartners in that school 5 hours a week. We send our employees down to that school to actually work with them to do various tasks and large motor skills, reading, and math projects using arts as one of the tools and using gymnastics and those kinds of things as a tool to really create a lot of right brain power, if you will, that also has them learn to read better. And we know reading is the one thing that keeps our people from learning and from graduating. Over the 20 years we've been doing that program, we have noticed an increase in the graduates out of that particular school. We're very proud of that. It's the lowest income school in our community. More recently, I became a member of the board of directors for the Portland Children's Museum. I think and being supported by our company in doing so also points to the level of support that we have and the value we see in the arts in the community. Our young parents, they see what's happening in the schools, and they, you know, our employees are largely young, and many of them have children in the school system. They see the arts disappearing year by year, year by year, and that, I believe, has them want to contribute in our program at work. So they see that, once again, they have an opportunity to bring the arts back into the community. I think the bottom line of our conversation is that we see arts as a very valuable asset to all communities and really is at the root of a thriving community. And our business will not thrive unless our communities thrive. So thank you for having me here today.
Thank you. Ms. Calder.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I'm Elaine Calder. I'm the president of the Oregon Symphony, and I'm speaking as one of the professional organizations that is funded by RAC. And by professional, I mean simply that our musicians and employees make their living doing what we do. This is a challenging time for all of us, and not just in the arts. Your commitment to RAC funding this year has made a big difference, not just financially, but in the signal it sends about the importance of the arts to this city. Like businesses and government agencies across the country, Portland's arts community has had to make difficult decisions in order to survive the impact of the recession. We've seen ticket sales and admissions drop and contributions shrink as people make hard choices about their lives and the causes they support. As a result, we've had to scale back. And to give just one example, at the Oregon Symphony, our 76 musicians and 30 staff members have given up almost $1 million in wages and benefits this year. We do not consider this heroic or exceptional. It is what we are all doing in every sector to preserve the things we value most. At the same time, our organizations have cut prices and offered discounts as we try to remain accessible to the many people who love the arts but are struggling themselves in this economy. And Portland does love the arts. The Oregon Symphony's budget this year is $14 million, and of this, we rely on our audiences and individual donors for 84%. That is an extraordinary percentage by national standards. And most of the organizations represented in the council chamber this morning would tell you a similar story. It is people who keep Portland's theaters, concert halls, museums, and galleries open and vibrant. It is people who buy our tickets, pay our admissions, take out memberships, and make contributions to our annual and capital funds. And this was reinforced in December when the NEA released its study of attendance rates by state and announced that Oregon ranked second in the country in per capita attendance at performing arts events. There are generous corporations in Portland who understand the importance of the arts to our community, and it's great to have Roger Hinshaw say what he did this morning. But Portland doesn't have a lot of Fortune 500 companies, and over the last 15 years, we've seen many head offices transfer elsewhere in the country. We have a relatively small number of foundations here, and as you know, there's a major effort underway to identify a new and sustainable source of public funding for the arts, but that will take time. And so our arts organizations have carefully nurtured our relationships with our audiences collectively and individually. The economic climate remains challenging, and the need to make hard choices continues. I hope your decision to continue your commitment to RAC will be made easier by the knowledge that you are reinforcing the support given by the people of Portland to its arts community. This is not a place where the arts are enjoyed by an elite few, very far from it, but this is a city that embraces creativity and artistic enterprise. So thank you for all you do to ensure that participation in the arts can be enjoyed by the broadest possible cross-section of our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I apologize, Elaine and Mr. Graves. Would you mind, so that they can get closer to the mics, mm-hmm. if you want to?
Yeah, we'll slide right away.
That'd be great.
Beautiful. Thank
you. We don't have the most sophisticated
setup
PA system here.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm Jessica Jarrett. I'm a resident of Portland, a mom of two, and the executive director of the Creative Advocacy Network, or CAN. I'm here representing a lot of people, 100,000 art supporters, 235,000 metro area students, 24 neighboring cities, and 1.3 million metro area residents. And on behalf of all of them, I want to say thank you. Your investments in the arts in this city have made a tremendous impact. Just this year alone, 2.6 million experiences took place for Portland residents and visitors through the 93 organizations that RAC funded. Of those 2.6 million experiences, 916,000 of them were free, and 175,000 school children benefited from the arts because of your investments. Your investments in the Creative Advocacy Network are also laying the groundwork for a new regional public fund for the arts that will fulfill that promise for decades to come, not just in this city, but in our region. Here, the arts, they shape our neighborhoods, they expand our educational opportunities, they fuel our economy, they open our minds, and they spark creativity. Thank you for making that happen. While many consider Portland to be an epicenter of creativity, and as Elaine mentioned, the NEA has recently ranked Oregon number two in attendance for the performing arts, public funding for the arts in our region as a whole is much lower than comparable metropolitan areas. And as a result, our children and communities do not have equitable access to the arts. Your leadership and investments have sparked a movement that is fueled by what can only be described as popular demand. In 2008 and 2009, CAN has done polling, which has given us a bit of information about a representative sample of Tri-County residents. We know that 95% of residents believe that arts education is vital to our children's future success. 83% of residents agree that arts and culture help fuel creativity and innovation that fuels Portland's economy. And 70% of residents are willing to pay a dollar more per month in additional taxes to fund the arts and arts education. As D.K. Rowe reported in yesterday's Oregonian, CAN has settled on 2011 or 2012 to introduce a groundbreaking new $15 to $20 million regional fund for the arts for voter approval. With the need this great, it is no longer a question of if, but when we'll go to the people with this issue. Thanks to the visionary investment of the City of Portland, CAN is working to ensure that my children and their children will have the opportunity to experience the arts and learn from creativity in their classrooms and in their communities, no matter what their income level or neighborhood. And once again, I thank you for making this possible. I would like to use the rest of my time to introduce a beautiful woman that I invited to come here today to testify. Kiera Brinkley is a 16-year-old junior at Benson High School and the best reason that I know of to invest in access to the arts for our children and communities. So, Kiera.
My name is Kiera Kamon Brinkley. I'm 16 years old, and I attend Benson Polytechnic High School, as Jessica just pointed out. And I wanted to thank you for having me here today. I am honored to be here to share why having access to the arts is so important to me. I am a dancer. I've been dancing since I came out of the hospital when I was 2 years old after I had my amputations done. I attended Da Vinci Arts Middle School and majored in the dance area there and made it to like the top level of dance attending the school. Dance is easy for me, and my friends and family seem to like it, so I'm very happy to do it. I'm known as the dancer at Benson High School, and even though it's not an arts school, I look forward to every arts assignment because I go all out with everything I do. The main reason I dance is to express myself, and being able to go to the schools that allow me to dance, allow me to go down the hallways with my hair not done and dance without being judged is one of the best things I'm able to do. And I'm known as a girl who's disabled. I'm known as the girl in the wheelchair. And when I dance, people get to actually see me. They get to know me, know my feelings. And so today, testifying, I'm just asking you to keep being as generous as you have been doing. For my friends and family, for their sake, I want them to be able to experience the same opportunity that I have with the arts and how it has affected my life.
Well done.
Kiera has agreed to perform a brief dance for us today, if you all would be amenable. You all might have to stand. I think sure. We should use this area so that everybody else can see.
Thank you.
That was really fantastic. All right. Is anyone signed up to testify?
I think everyone who signed up spoke.
All right. Then I will entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the report. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Well, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in today. Thank you for all of your work in the community. Thank you, RAC, for supporting so many professionals in the community and also so many volunteer projects. It's heartwarming to see how this community has pulled together in the worst recession of my lifetime. And thank you to the performers. Thank you so much, Kim Stafford, and the choir. My goodness, I haven't heard a choir in this auditorium before, and I think all the high school choirs, and Mr. Peter at Wilson High School, I think should bring his choirs here, and all the high school choirs. It would be wonderful to have this building used for the arts as well. Thank you so much. Aye.
Fish.
Well, first, I want to acknowledge the three dynamos, Eloise, Carol, and Jessica, for their tremendous leadership. We are very fortunate in the city to have three such dynamic and relentless and creative leaders for the arts. So thank you for all that you do for our community. I want to acknowledge the mayor because the mayor is the one who sets the table and sets the priorities in our budget and in our work, and he has put arts and culture at the head of the list for this city. And so I am, as a citizen and as a member of this body, I'm grateful for the mayor's leadership. So one of the questions that I often get asked is, why do arts and culture matter? And why should we invest in arts and culture, particularly in a down economy? So I just would go back to one simple story. And I love telling this story because I think it connects all the dots. About 3 years ago, and Eloise will correct me if I'm wrong on the date, there was a marvelous public art that was staged at the Halperin Fountains. I think it was about three years ago, because my son was still in his stroller. Maybe it was three or four, but it was something like that. And my family came out and joined 1,000 people at a performance at the Halperin Fountains, which is begin in front of the Keller Auditorium and proceed south. And that particular project was put together by PICA, funded by RAC and other public and private sources, and brought together the Halperin Fountains, which it turns out is one of the great treasures of our community and not as well known then as it should have been. Third Angle, which is one of our great musical organizations, PICA, and dance. And it all came together at that event, and it was an extraordinary piece of public theater. So what happened as a result of that? Well, because of the investments that were made in that event, the public gained a deeper appreciation of the significance of the Halperin Fountains, and we also learned that the Halperin Fountains were at risk. And it turns out that we are the envy of the country in having his masterwork here and the sequence that he designed. So as a result of the momentum that that public art brought about, Randy Gregg completed his book, which I believe is titled The Revolution Began Here, which chronicles Halperin's work and how it came to be. And elected officials began to take notice of this treasure and how we can elevate its significance. As a result of this whole continuum of efforts, initially sparked and enhanced because of art, the city of Portland today is the lead applicant for a historic district designation to create a historic district for the entire Halperin sequence. That includes the fountains, the plazas, and the connectors. And the mayor has proposed creating a new sub-district in Portland called the Fountain District, which will celebrate the heritage of Halperin's masterwork. So when you ask me, why do art and culture matter, I would say, let's just look at the story around Lawrence Halperin's great work and how art and culture brought it to our attention and helped us save something which we perhaps took for granted. So here's my commitment as one of five members of the council. I will pledge to work with the mayor, to work tirelessly with the mayor to maintain city funding for the arts. A down economy is no reason to back away from our commitment. I will tell you that that will not be easy, and you know how bleak the budget situation is, but you make a compelling case. And I would say that the fact that we have a down economy makes the case even stronger for maintaining our commitment. And when Jessica and Ken call, blow the bugle, and rally the community towards the larger goal of dedicated funding for the arts, I will join with her and the mayor and the regional coalition that you've put together to fight for that funding. The case has been made. It's time that we went to the voters and asked for their support. So thank you to all who participated today. It was very inspiring. And thank you for your leadership on something we care deeply about. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank RAC for an outstanding presence and show of force today. Outstanding presentation, I should say, as well as show of force. And Kira, you're fantastic. I really appreciate you being here today. It reminds me that I need to say that through the voter support of the Portland Children's Levy two times now, we also support arts education in the schools. Tears of Joy Theater is one of the recipients of our investments. We also support Sun School programs that provide arts and writing and photography through our to our after-school students. So the Children Levy also hooks up well, I think, with what RAC and CAN are all about. I think that it is a challenge in these times to sustain our funding, but I am committed to sustaining funding for RAC and finding other opportunities that we can support the arts and culture. I think it's one of the things that it's fortunate to hear the statistics about the participation of people in Oregon for the arts, but I think the arts to me is something that brings communities together. And we have so many things that are divisive these days, many of them coming up on this rostrum in the next few days, few weeks, whatever. There's so many things divide us, but that when you show us that last slide of an audience all standing and clapping, looking at the stage, you know, it's that type of moment that I think arts brings to so many of us. It brings us together as a city or as an audience or as just a random group of people in appreciation of something special that we've just seen. And so it's an incalculable value that is well worth sustaining, and I too will certainly do all I can to help with the Creative Arts Network's proposed funding strategy, and look forward to being a participant. And finally, just want to thank Carol, Eloise, and Jessica for your outstanding leadership. Aye.
Adams.
Well, one person that is very modest in her contributions to the leadership in the arts community and is actually deserves to be called out for recognition and thank you. She's sitting way up in the, where'd she go? Virginia Willard is up there. Oh. Virginia Willard, thank you. Executive Director of Business Community for the Arts, thank you for, I know Roger spoke on behalf of the organization, but I wanted to thank you personally as well. My colleagues, as usual, have said it far better than I ever could. I simply want to say that, the best days for Portland's arts and culture communities are ahead of us. And I said 5 years ago when I took over the helm of being the arts commissioner for the city of Portland that the arts and culture, heritage, preservation, history community in Portland was the worst organized social demographic group, advocacy group in the city of Portland. And it is now one of the best. And that's huge, huge change. So thank you all very much. I also want to thank Polly Berg, Jennifer Yoakum, and our new person on the arts and culture team, Carrie Clark, for all their great work as well in my office. Aye. You are free to stay and watch Democracy in Action. We'll take a 5-minute recess to switch audiences in and out. Thank you.
Yeah, I think they've got it.
There it is.
All right, so you're going to be over on that side.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to bring it up. I've got it right here. They wanted to move right into that after the communication. Sorry.